What if I told you that you could take a course from one of the living legends of dentistry? This upcoming October 12th and 13th in Chicago, Dr. Buddy Mopper of Cosmonet is giving his course, a course that he's been given for quite some time, called Catch the Composite Wave and Surf Its Potential. Basically, Buddy was there when cosmetic dentistry was started, and he helped make it what it is today. You can study under him, see how he does everything, hear his amazing stories, hear his irreverent banter about all things in dentistry. He's hilarious, trust me. His opinions are strong on everything, but he's an absolute blast. Plus, he's a really good teacher. Like, the one thing you'll notice about Buddy is he takes all kinds of time to make sure you understand exactly what he's talking about. What's cool about Buddy is he has a different take than a lot of the different Cosmonet instructors have. He's been doing it for a long time. He has strong opinions, and he's happy to tell you what they're doing wrong and why they're wrong and why he's right. It's really fun. Also, Cosmonet is probably the premier place to take composite layering classes. It's right on Michigan Avenue in Chicago, right overlooking. It's gorgeous, way up high in their building. They take you to these awesome lunches. I want to say the Michael Jordan restaurant, which is right in the same building as there. It's freaking amazing. And you get to do hands-on with all their materials right there. It's really cool. Cosmonet puts on a great show. And Dr. Buddy Mopper is a living legend. I tell you again, you're crazy if you miss this. You need to go check it out at dentalhacks.com/buddymopper and get yourself signed up for this because he is amazing. You'll have a great time. They're doing some amazing things over there in Chicago. Thanks a lot for supporting the show, Cosmonet.
This is the Dental Hacks Podcast, a podcast created by dentists for dentists. Now, sit back, relax. You're about to be hacked.
Hello, Dental Hacks Nation, and welcome to episode 160 of the Dental Hacks Podcast. My name is Alan Mead.
And my name is Jason Lipscomb.
I like that.
My name for a second.
Yeah. You're hoping to be someone else. Wake up in the morning, someone completely different.
Yes. Believe you me.
There's been a lot of whimpering on Facebook Messenger between Jason and myself over the last week or so. A lot of whimpering.
You're two sad sacks.
We've been beaten down a little bit. Just saying. I don't know. I've been beaten down by the fact that I've been single parenting for literally the last week. My wife left for Mexico. A friend of hers is probably getting married right now. She flew to Mexico. Because, of course, when your friend gets married in Mexico, you have to go for a week. And the whole time I'm thinking to myself, why didn't I go? Now, mind you, someone probably needs to take care of the kids. I mean,
they'll be fine.
If you leave a bag of cat food out there, they'll be fine. Whatever. I'll just watch video games. What happens is that they can't charge their own tablets. For some reason or other, they just don't quite figure out how to, they'll find the wrong plug or whatever. So other than that, they can take care of themselves. Just throw them in front of the tablet.
Tell them that they have to keep it plugged in and they'll never leave the house.
That's right. They'll never leave the wall. It'll just be leaning up against
the
wall. There
you go. Like that. Tethered.
I'm telling you. No, it's been fun. I love my kids, but it is like I have an appreciation for what Deb has to do on a day-to-day basis, particularly the morning thing, like getting them out on the bus, because it is hard getting those two heading in the right direction in the morning. And plus I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to feed the horses. So I won't miss that too much. So I've been busy with that, but I've had short clinical days because I've had to leave work early to pick them up from school and stuff. So good time.
You should just buy them one of those shirts that are sewn together. So then they,
the get along shirt.
Yep, they get a long shirt.
I fear that.
No other choice.
I fear that it wouldn't work out for one of them. Probably the smaller one. Uh-huh. Just thinking.
That's all right. Yeah.
You may have less of that because you have a boy and a girl. I don't know. We'll see. Be interesting to see.
They love each other, but they fight like cats and dogs every once in a while.
My guys are crazy about each other, but also sometimes I worry that they'll kill each other. There's that. All right, so I got
like a little fratricide.
It's a little, you know, it's a family. We love each other. So I need to ask you about, you were talking about how quickly you can crank out a bite guard now. And I was intrigued. You were, I'll say it so you don't have to. You were saying that you can crank out a bite guard faster than your assistant can crank out a temporary. Is that real? Is that for real?
That's 100% real.
Did you 100%. Timer? So tell me, what are you doing for, and I'm assuming it's like a flat plane kind of thing, like a lab would produce.
Yeah, I mean you can put some acrylic on there and kind of doll it up if you want to a little bit.
Sure, but, you can pimp it out.
You can make a pretty flat plane on the back if you want to, but I've got it's all from what's the name of the company? Great Lakes Orthodontics.
Yeah. That's the Mini Star, I'm guessing, right?
The Mini Star. Yeah, I got the Mini Star. And then
it's a terrible name for a product, by the way, for that particular product. I mean, they should call it the Mega Kick Ass or something like that. But it's the Mini Star. Yeah, I'm sorry, but go ahead.
It's kind of like how you call those bald guys curly. You
know? I see what you're saying. It's like ironic. They named it ironically. I like that.
You obviously get your cast going, and then I lay down a layer of Isoflan, which is like a real super thin, like blockout, like suck down.
It's not a Greek. It's not a Greek dessert.
It could be.
Sorry, I was digging deep on that.
I don't think flan is Greek. Yeah, I think it's more of a. Yeah, I think you're talking about
Spanish, maybe.
Spanish.
Yeah.
But you lay down a layer of that Isoflan, and that does kind of like knocks out all the undercuts. Just with airspace. And then I've laid down a layer of this flexible material.
Okay.
Real nice and thin on there.
Yeah. Is it sort of cushiony?
It's cushiony, like the soft liner.
Sure.
And then I've got like a heat gun that I got from the hardware store, like a paint stripper. Heat gun.
Probably really bugs the hell out of the dental supply companies that you didn't buy their version, which was like $700.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
This will burn the hairs off your arm.
Oh, yeah, it will.
I do that, and then I put the bite guard material in the Mini Star and heat that up. And while I'm doing that, I'm keeping the other warm with the heat gun and then do a suck down on that, and everything all fuses together.
Nice.
Probably pops right off of there. I got the polishing kit from Great Lakes and put that puppy up, and it looks just as good as the bite guards I get back from the lab.
So you cut the lab right out of that deal.
Yeah, I could probably do it in probably 10 minutes.
Man.
Probably less than that.
I think there's people in the Dental Hacks Nation that are going to hire you as their mouth guard guy.
Yeah, I mean, I meant to make a video today, but I'll have to make a video.
That's a great idea. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, it doesn't take long at all, really. And if you wanted to, you could put a little acrylic on there, like when you're doing the flexible layer. You could lay down a little acrylic on top of that to make a flat plane.
Okay.
On the back, on the posterior, and then do this other suck down right on top of that. And it would just sandwich it in between those two layers of material.
That's that kind of cool. This is what you're using for bruxers or people that you want to just protect the thousands and thousands of dollars of dental work that you've done on them. So at nighttime, they don't crush your dental work. That's cool. I love it. Are you doing it? Is that off a digital cast typically, or are you pouring a stone cast?
Either one. Yeah. Sure. I mean, you could. I've done them off both. The digital cast, if you print it off, I print it off on the form too. That cast won't stick to anything. So, I mean, you put that plastic on there, everything just peels right
out. So you don't even really need to. You don't really need to put a separating on it then.
No, I mean, I'll spray something like the spray separator on it, but I mean, it typically doesn't stick to hardly anything.
That's cool.
And then you can reuse it because it's so hard. It rarely do the teeth break on there.
Well, seems like another indication for it. That's pretty cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
But hopefully I'll be able to design the more complex splints and things like that on Exocad when I get good at that, and then just be able to print them out.
That's right.
Whenever you want some.
So that was your tips with J-Lips. So that was cool. That was very cool. I like that. So let's talk about our episode tonight. You've had multiple episodes just recently. So do you have a membership program in your office, like where you kind of have the prepaid deal going, or not really?
No, we just charge for parking.
There you go. Now you're on to something. We'll do a whole episode on that.
Yeah.
We've been using a membership plan for quite some time. Actually, in 2008, we had a bunch of GM people back in the day. And GM member went bankrupt and they lost all their benefits. And so we kind of instituted a membership program for people that felt like they needed some kind of a plan to come into the office. But we've talked.
Do they have to wear special jackets?
Yes, yes. And there's a handshake, which is that's difficult. That's hard.
Are the jackets very sleek with little epaulets on the side?
Yeah, the gold club.
The members only jacket.
It is. It's like it's got the snaps on the shoulders. Very sharp. So, but what we've done with it is really, I mean, I feel like we probably give it away a little too much. Like we might include more services than a lot of people would. We do basically all the x-rays, all you can eat x-rays, basically, two cleanings, an exam, the whole, and then we knock a percentage off there. And I have to tell you,
smorgasbord of x-rays.
It is. That's right. Just all the x-rays, all of them. I feel like people really respond to it well. And our guest is Jordan Comstock of Boom Cloud Apps. He has basically taken that concept and he's turned it into like it's a browser-based, you know, software. So he basically manages that program because, like in Mar Office, it's manual. You know, it's one of these things where it's something that the office team has to kind of remember to do on a monthly basis and follow up with. But I love ours. I think ours is great. I'd love to have a practice full of those people. And Jordan is talking about how he makes that easy. And he talks about it being recurring revenue, which I hadn't thought about it, but it kind of is. Like if you have enough people on the plan, they're, you know, they turn over. And the other thing he talked about that I thought was interesting was we always charge them for 1 year at a time. We charge a yearly thing, but he's like, yeah, you can also do it where they pay that it's a year, but they pay it monthly. So they don't have to come up with it all at one time. Which is interesting. I think that has its own pitfalls too, but I hadn't thought about that. For a lot of folks, that might be the way to do it. So I don't know. He was pretty good. So are you going to, I mean, you've got three different practices. I wondered if your demographics in any of them would be particularly good for something like this.
Yeah, I would love to have a membership program, but as we've stated before, I buy everything that comes on and through this podcast. So I'm interested, but, I don't know.
Yeah, and I will tell you that ours right now is DIY. And luckily, my front desk she was into it from the beginning, and she does a good job with it. However, I always worry about her getting hit by a bus. Because if that happens, there's a lot of things in the office, like systems. I need to work on the systems part of it. We need to have a hit by a bus book for my front desk person to put together and all that stuff, because there's a lot of things that I might lean on her a little too much for. So there is something to this Boom Cloud thing. There is something to having an app that sort of does it for you. So,
oh yeah, there's a lot of great ideas out there. Just the execution is always the weak point.
Yes.
In the practice. So,
and frankly, too much of it. I mean, a lot of it now is becoming systematized in like an app, but if you leave it to dentists like us, we'll have the great idea and we'll just fall apart in the follow through. At least that's basically my life in a nutshell. So
exactly.
I think sometimes having something like this is really cool. So why don't you guys sit back, relax, take a listen to Jordan Comstock.
I found the secret to a perfect composite polish. And the secret is, it isn't the polish, it's the pre-polish. I started using Magic Mix by BioClear just about as soon as it came out. It's like last year. The stuff is like a paste or a gel, and you apply it right after you've gotten your composite contoured and finished up to about a coarse disc. Of course, Softflex disc is what they talk about, but basically a coarse disc where you can kind of still see small scratches in the composite, but they're not all going in one direction. They're sort of omnidirectional, as Dr. Clark used want to say. Basically, then you apply this stuff, about 3 Profi cup fulls of the stuff, and you just kind of push it in with the Profi cup, and all of a sudden, this sort of coarse polished thing is almost there, like in almost no time flat. That's where the magic part comes in, right? Like all of a sudden, you went from kind of contoured, contour's okay, but it was kind of scratchy looking, to whoa, we're almost there. Then you use, Dr. Clark likes to use a jazz polisher, like the fine polisher. I've been known to throw whatever fine polisher I happen to have around. I like to use it in an electric slow speed with water and some kind of high pressure.
you go from this magic mix finish to a high shine polish. It takes way less time than it used to take just using cups. You don't have to go through or discs. You don't have to go through a bunch of discs or cups. It just happens. The stuff is amazing. It's called Magic Mix. You need to order a tub from BioClear. You can check it out at dentalhacks.com/magicmix. Stuff is amazing. It'll change the way you polish composite. Like, immediately it'll change it. You need to try this stuff. BioClear. Modern matrices for modern composites.
And now it's time for the Dental Hacks interview.
Dental Hacks Nation, welcome to another stunning and fascinating interview segment. Joining me tonight is my stalwart co-host, Jason Lipscomb. Jason, what's happening?
Hey, how are y'all? Y'alls?
We alls as well. So we have a guest with us this evening. It's a guy, ooh, he's not a doctor.
No.
But he knows something about dentistry, apparently. We're going to find out what he knows about dentistry. We have with us, we have entrepreneur and podcaster, Jordan Comstock. Jordan, welcome to the show.
How's it going, you guys?
Good. Very good. Very good. all right. So, Jordan, how did you get into dentistry since you are not an actual dentist? I want to know everything. Why are you working with dentists? Why are you choosing to work with such a sick group of people?
I know, right? It's an interesting group of people, but just kidding. A lot of fun. So I grew up in dentistry. My dad and my grandpa owned a dental lab.
Oh.
Yeah. And my mom has always been an office manager for a pediatric dental office.
Oh, wow.
So it's in my blood, right? We've got it. Just grew up. I remember going to the lab all the time and playing with plaster, right?
Sure. What else are you going to do?
Then, yeah, what else?
At what age did you start smoking Marlboros?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, exactly. That now you just said that the dental industry is a weird the dentists are weird, but the lab guys, dude. I remember going to one conference. So, and I'm a twin brother. I have a twin brother that so I used to manage the dental lab back in the early 2000s with my brother and my dad. And we went to a dental conference one time for the dental lab side of things. And holy smokes, there's some weirdos in the lab space. I'm not going to be I'm going to be transparent with that right there. But yeah, so
this is unexpected, Jordan. I'm afraid I can't let this go. You managed a dental lab in the early 2000s. Tell me everything. Holy crap. What kind of lab was it?
Full service dental lab. They're still around today. My twin brother, my dad still is managing it.
Well, drop names, dude. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So Salt Lake Dental Lab is the name of the lab.
Okay.
Founded in 1906 by a guy named Ralph Folsom, and my grandpa bought it from him. Wow. I'm sure for a really cheap price back in the 1950s.
1906? And, they fixed teeth in 1906? I didn't even know.
Yeah. Yeah, the lab still has a bunch of old machinery from that era, which is, they kind of have a like dentistry museum down in their basement. It's kind of cool. But that's
they do Lipscomb's work on that stuff. That's what they do. They set that aside for Jason's work.
Yeah, that's what they do. We find the doctors that we want to play pranks on and just do
exactly. So tell me, like, what you managed it. Tell me what someone who manages a dental lab. What, tell me about that.
Yeah, so I oversaw pretty much everything from financial duties to marketing and sales and just all the internal systems. I managed every bit of it, and I was more entrepreneurial than my dad was and started just creating my own things on the side. I mainly managed understanding the numbers, crunching numbers, and making sure.
So, bad are dentists at paying their bills? Let's be honest about this. We need to bring this out in the open.
Oh, they're extremely bad.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, if you said, "Oh no, they're great," I was going to say that you were lying.
No, no way. That was one of the biggest problems that I was faced with there. Not with all of them. Obviously, there were some good.
I get it, but it's weird. Like, the dental lab is one of these things where, like, our life depends on them, yet it's weird. There's like this love-hate relationship going both ways.
There is.
Because I know that dental lab techs hate dentists. Sure they hate dentists because we're not clear. We're trying, you know, we're rushing. We're not. But the other thing is, yeah. like, impressions are one of these things where I think dental lab technicians sometimes think that we work on typodonts that don't bleed or have gums or anything like that. But then on the other hand, I think sometimes dentists think that a dental lab technician can do pretty much anything with whatever crap we give them. It really goes both ways. We're all sick.
No, it is both ways. And everybody seems to be spread thin. Everyone always. From the lab side to the dentist side, right? Seems like everybody's always spread thin. Everyone's trying to do it all, but then they drop the ball sometimes, right?
I know we have to get to your stuff, but I got to ask you, what was the hardest thing to manage in a dental lab? Like was it shipping, quality control? Was it managing lab technicians? Was it managing dentist expectations, getting to pay? What if there's one thing that was like the worst job in the lab, what was it?
I think the worst job in the lab was, from my perspective, I hated doing the clinical stuff.
Sure.
Right. I hated. My dad was passionate about it. You asked him and that's what he loves. Right. And that's for me, that was rough. Cause when I started, it was before anyone had like the CERAC machines and things like that. Right. Sure. The Miller machines. And they eventually got them, but then I left, you know, about a year after.
So you weren't really heavy into the CAD CAM thing when you were managing.
We started to get very heavy into it and we started going to all the Sirona conferences. Because we were using, you know, their milling machines, and basically, yeah, I just did not like doing the clinical side because with my business mind, I felt I couldn't control the end product because it starts out with an impression, right?
Yep.
And a lot of the times, especially here in Utah, there's a lot of guys here that don't know how to do impressions.
Sure.
Right. And you just can't control the end product. And that's I think one thing that my biggest pet peeve of the lab industry is I had no control over the end product.
That's really
funny
that you say
that's
that.
That's kind of why I ended up leaving.
Jason, would you agree that that might be one of the frustrations with working with patients though? Because don't you wish every patient had a flip top head and like could open like an articulator and stuff like that? That's where you lose control.
Oh yeah, it's like half your. Or 90% of your battle all day long.
Yeah,
I sometimes wish I could be smoking Marlboros with the guys in the lab.
I know, right?
It is
funny though because like so much of my limitations are a patient that can't or won't open.
Yeah,
I've complained about this on the podcast so much, or literally sort of like, and I don't quite have the lack of tact to say, look, you know, if you want this to be easier, you have to work with me. I wish I could. As I get older and my back starts to hurt more, I will say that more. But
you just get grumpy.
Yeah, but I mean, like the lab techs have the same exact thing. They are working with whatever limitations the dentist is sending them. I've never thought about that, but it's like almost a perfect freaking analogy. It's crazy. So
yeah, they're very similar models. Managing a dental office, obviously, there's a few different, you know, things in there.
Sure.
You guys have to deal with insurance. We don't. Well, technically, it trickles down to the lab, right?
It does. Yeah, it really
reducing
does.
Reducing fees and things like that. But yeah, there's a lot of similarities in managing a dental lab from managing an office on the business side of things, right? Is what I'm saying there. But yeah, I'd say that was probably the hardest thing, the biggest thing that still drives me crazy today. When I talk to my dad, I'm like, you just can't control your freaking end product. It's impossible. And yeah, I'm sure you guys, like you said, you can relate there in the dental.
Yeah,
the dental.
Totally.
Yeah.
What was the secret? I really am going to get to your stuff. I swear to God, this is just fascinating.
No.
So how much of a dental lab is like, how much is your lifeblood new clients? In other words, like in dentistry, it's all about new patients and stuff. So how much was it new clients and how much was it just keeping your existing clients happy? Because I know you're a big marketer and I'm like, and what kind of stuff worked really well to bring new people in?
Yeah, no, those are fantastic things that I can definitely go into those. I'd say in my dad's lab, now there's different types of labs,
sure.
Right? My dad's lab, which is a small 5-6 man lab, he had a lot of loyal offices working with him. But me being a young entrepreneur type guy, I wanted to see growth. And a lot of my time was spent on trying to grow the lab from a local lab to more, you know, out of state lab with the technology. With when we got the CERAC system, we were able to get practices in all sorts of states, and that was exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
So when we got the new system, that was mainly what I focused on, is growing out of state and building the systems to do that. Right. And I think what worked with marketing was we would do a lot of outreach and like webinars.
Okay.
And then locally we would do a lot of education events.
Yeah, no, that's a big deal.
Yeah, we'd partner with Patterson, which I have tons of great connections with them. Patterson and like even the Sirona guys, we had some good connections with that we would do some partnerships with there. And that seemed to always work, because I think education is the best way to market in any industry.
Well, yeah, you put yourself out as an authority too. You're showing that not only you're showing how to do it, but you can be the partner to do it with. That makes a ton of sense.
Exactly. So that's kind of what we did there at the lab. And then, it's just – The majority, even till this day, I talk to my dad and brother all the time, and it's a lot of it is just loyalty, right? And they created a loyalty system for their offices that seems to be working today. So yeah, that's kind of my mindset there.
That's interesting, Jason. Just between you and I, let's just say you were looking for a new lab. Like, if you're what things draw you? What do you use now if you're looking for a new lab? Like, I can think of a couple things. I get mailers constantly, but I just don't. That doesn't really do it for me. If you were looking for a new lab, what would you look for?
$15 crayons.
There you go. $15 zirconia. That's right.
Yeah.
And a kick-ass gift basket at Christmas would be good too.
I want a made in the Belgian Congo somewhere far flung to seem exotic or
they
something.
They literally like have trained monkeys to do zirconia. It's amazing how that works.
Oh, totally, yeah. And when I was managing it, zirconia was still at its height. So we were able to get a good profit margin from it. But as time went on, like the usual products in dentistry.
Yeah.
They start to go down, right? And then you gotta be innovative. It was it was great practice managing that lab for me on a business standpoint.
Because you're always fighting the margin, obviously. You're always fighting
the margins. Yeah, you're always trying to look to be more innovative than the lab down the street. And that I think that gave me some like scrappiness, you know.
Sure.
And just my company now, I use a lot of skills that I had acquired when I managed that lab. But that was a lot of fun, a lot of stress and challenge, but I would never change a thing with my days there. I learned a lot, had a good experience.
So what happened? Okay, so you were managing the lab, and take us from managing the lab then to where you are right now. What'd you do? What's your story?
Yeah, so like I said, I've always been an entrepreneur, even when I was at the lab. And my dad in the early days, he never had a website. Right. Sounds like a lot of dentists.
No, right? That's exactly right. Yeah.
Lab guys and dentists.
They still don't.
There's a few. There's not too many different things between the mindsets there. It's very interesting. And basically, he never had a website. It made me mad because I was a young kid at the time, and I knew the power of the internet. And he just wouldn't invest. So I at home after my days at the lab, I'd get home and I start tinkering with programming, HTML stuff. Now, I'm not a programmer, but I would tinker with it. And I was fascinated with technology. And eventually, I was able to build up my dad's website. And then I went to school and I studied marketing and web development, because I knew I wanted to do something in technology, because I just had a fascination to it. And basically, as I was marketing the lab, I was doing a lot of online marketing and a lot of offline marketing. And I was going into a lot of practices, just talking and building relationships with these practices. And I just got done reading a book called The Automatic Customer. I don't know if you guys have read that.
I have not. I have not.
But it's a fantastic book. It's by John Warlow. I highly recommend it. On every podcast I come on, I always talk about this book, because it basically changed my life. When it comes to thinking about revenue. And basically, it talks about how to generate subscription or recurring revenue in any type of business. And I knew managing the lab, the cash flow was crazy. It was crazy. One month, it was amazing, and we were like cheering. Yeah, we did, you know, X amount of revenue. And then the next month's like, what the heck happened? Mm-hmm. Right? So it was really, really crazy, and I hated managing that. And I knew there was a better model out there. And I read this book, The Automatic Customer, that talks about recurring revenue. And essentially, I started, as I was out talking to practices, I realized that there was no predictable recurring revenue stream in any of these businesses, from a lab to a dental office, right? And I just started thinking and getting really curious about state.
Okay, I'm going to push back just a little bit on that. When I think about it, the model where office is really, really hygiene driven, has a really tight recall, it's not automatic. I mean, you still have to have the patient come in, and you still have to have them not miss appointments. But I mean, in some ways, that's like a much more predictable revenue stream than, say, restorative dentistry. Can you think of any others, Jason, that are automatic in the dental office? That's probably about it, really.
Yeah.
It's a pretty strong recall system and getting everybody back in. Well, I think a lot of people overlook that, though, in the dental setting. And they're always focused on new patients.
But that also kind of requires that you have your foot on the accelerator all the time, because it doesn't take long for people to miss and fall out of recall. So you're kind of constantly dragging those people back into recall. So it's not, I would say automatic is not quite right, but there's potential for recurring.
What I call that is there's a lot of repeat business, right?
Yep.
Now when we talk about predictable recurring revenue, it's like predictable that when you're receiving the revenue on by date, in my opinion. And that's just my philosophy, my concept. And that's why dentists, you know, with what I do, that's why it works so well with, you know, the general dentist model, because they have the foundation of recurring revenue, but in my opinion, it can go an extra step.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So basically, I walked into a dental practice and I noticed this practice was doing a membership program. And it fascinated me to the point where I just got extremely curious, and I just started asking question after question, how they're managing it, why are they doing this, why is it beneficial, you know, things like that. And I just got really fascinated, and then I started seeing more and more practices trying to do these models, and I kept asking questions and being curious, and then I realized a pattern that most dental practices didn't have a solution or a system to manage this for scale, right? And by scale, I mean to grow it to a good amount of patients. So that's when I went home one night and I sketched out a software idea, which is what we have now is called BoomCloud, my company. But basically, I sketched out the software idea and created a membership program software that will help, you know, dentists create, organize, automate, track their in-house membership programs.
Okay, so for people who are not sure exactly what you go right to the basics. Tell us what you mean by a membership program. I'm fairly certain I know what you're talking about, but just tell the world, and then we'll figure out how BoomCloud can make that work.
Yeah, that's perfect. So basically, a membership program is very similar to Amazon Prime. Do you guys have Amazon Prime?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so you pay a yearly fee and you get access to certain discounts and benefits. Well, the same thing applies to dental practice, right? Where patients pay a monthly or yearly fee to get access to certain discounts and benefits to that practice and that practice only, right? You're kind of cutting out the dental practice down the street when they sign up for the program, right? So that's essentially what it is, right? Now, the benefits and the pricing it varies from practice to practice. I believe you guys had Dr. Christopher Phelps on your show a while back.
Yep, a while back, a couple years ago.
He's a good friend of mine, and he also helps with he advises me on a lot of things. We've done some webinars together, but he's fantastic. But he has a membership program and even a book that talks about growing membership programs and talks about some plans and stuff that he's done that we actually use in we use his templates in our software because he's allowed that. But basically, you The patient pays a monthly or yearly fee to get access to discounts and benefits, and it acts as a loyalty program, a recurring revenue generator, and it helps increase case acceptance because a lot of these, most of the time, their patients are signing up, they don't have dental insurance. So
In fact, if they do have dental insurance, it actually doesn't work as well. I mean, like, my understanding is typically the benefit is really for people who want some kind of a quote-unquote plan. That's what Chris always talked about. He's like, for people feel like they need a plan, and so you can offer them a plan. It just so happens that they're sort of prepaying for their recall and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it is, you know. And I remember a lot of practices, most of them that we help, they're wanting to grow their fee for service patient base, sure. Right? And I think that's a very desirable and worthy goal to try and build, you know, a practice, because then you're not having who was it? I just wrote an article. Have you guys ever read Rich Dad Poor Dad? That book?
Jason is like a ninja in Rich Dad Poor Dad. Okay.
So I just wrote article for dentistryiq.com. That's awesome, Jason. I'm a big fan and I read a lot of his books. And I think in Rich Dad Poor Dad, he says something like, I wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy, you know, to be in the medical and dental world, because insurance companies are taking over the businesses by controlling the funds, right? And he talks about that, and I find it interesting that more and more practices are trying to grow these fee for service patient bases because they see that, you know, there's a huge problem out there, in my opinion, and that's kind of what I saw when I managed the lab too. We had our closest clients calling us and complaining about how bad insurance sucked for their practice, and I can't imagine what some of these practices are going through with, you know, these bad PPO deals. In my opinion, not all of them are bad, obviously, but so a membership program allows practices to basically cut out the middleman and build a self-reliant fee-for-service patient base.
Okay, worth mentioning too that, like, can't, like, newspaper, internet, basically all the bad press in the entire freaking world is towards the dental audience. It is fake news. It is, though. I mean, like the whole thing, the article from the Boston Globe, like last month or whatever, dentists to poor people drop dead. And it's all basically like, because dentists won't take Medicaid, because dentists won't take insurance, because dentists. And part of it is like people have to realize that dental insurance really, the way that it is now,
it's not structured like normal
insurance. Yeah. And it's not even close to insurance. It's nothing like medical insurance. That's why people don't get it. It's like a shitty gift card, basically. It's like a gift card given you by someone
that your aunt gives you with hard candy.
Exactly, and it's stale, my analogy was it's like getting a gift card to Barnes & Noble, but you can only buy paperbacks that are like 2 years old, and only in nonfiction.
And you can only buy $50 worth of them.
Exactly. You can buy, you got $50 worth, but you got to pay another $50, and you have to buy $100 worth. The whole thing is a farce in a lot of ways. And people, like, what I'm noticing, and I don't know if you've noticed this, Jason, is there's a lot of patients calling my front office desk asking, what, you know, I have a chance to sign up for this. What should I sign up with? And a lot of times you look at it and they're not, you know, they have to work at it to get even the face value of what they're paying out of it. It just doesn't make any sense, you know?
No. I've never had dental insurance, never will. My mom worked a lot in the insurance side of the practice, and she's like, never get dental insurance, right? All my life growing up, she would say that. And sure enough, I've never gotten dental insurance. I've been okay. And I'm getting ready to sign up for my dentist is creating a membership program. We're helping him with it. And I'm getting ready to be his first patient on the program. So on the plan, I'm pretty happy about that because growing up, my mom never said to get dental insurance, and I've figured out a way to not get it but still get some benefits to the dentist.
Sure.
Right. So, yeah. So that's kind of
The other thing I like about membership plans is that it not only does it, I mean, it accrues benefit to the dentist, but basically it makes a loyal patient base. So these patients have paid in advance, so they know at least that year they're going to go to you. But it's also like, I mean, part of it, like, you're giving them a discount for the fact that they've chosen to stick with you, essentially. That's
absolutely,
I mean, yeah. At least for that year, that's been sort of the reason to look at it, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a retention program as well, right?
Sure, yeah.
It can also be treated as an attraction program, right? To attract patients to the office, attract, retain, and then the nice thing about it, it's not a in the insurance industry. I say insurance is basically a win lose, right? Mm-hmm. Or a win lose lose. The insurance company is winning, everyone else is losing.
Yeah,
and I don't like that. I don't like that model. I like to see where everyone's winning, right? And it can be done. And I think a membership program is something that can do that in a practice where the dentist wins and the patient wins.
Jason put a photo up today on the Dental Hacks Nation of a crown that there of a tooth that was obviously needed a crown. It was like in desperate need of a crown. He had pictures all over the place and stuff. And the insurance company turned it down. One thing your membership plan will never turn down your crown, Jason.
No way. Yeah, no, it'll never turn down your crown because you're in control,
yeah,
Jason.
No, that's right. Right.
And I think, yeah.
I could see Jason requiring himself to predetermine to himself. Like, he's going to send himself a predetermination, then he'll approve it. I like that.
Yeah. Hold on, I got to send it.
I'll send it to my wife.
send it to your wife. You can even have like a super official form. Yeah, it'll be awesome. I love this.
She'll approve everything because she wants a new something new, I'm
there
sure.
You go. There
that's
you go.
How it goes, right? She wants to go shopping.
Mama
right?
needs a new pair of shoes.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, membership plans, you are pro membership plans. Tell us a little bit about what the software does. Because here's the thing. A lot of people think it's a good idea, and then they get kind of flummoxed by how to administer it. Because, I mean, a lot of people, including myself, we have one and we self-administer. But it sounds like, and you probably have run into plenty of people that have sort of put a plan together, but you're...
Absolutely.
Alan has a click card where you punch out the little tooth and you get the fifth tooth for
it is.
For
it
free.
Is. It's a crown punch card.
Seriously?
But, so cool. That'd be freaking
easy to
awesome.
Easy to counterfeit.
That'd be super awesome.
Easy to counterfeit. Just take it to the local.
If 9 crowns, get the 10th one free. First off, by the way, if that were a real thing, 9 crowns, 10th one free, I'd do that all day, every day. Thank you very much.
My Don't dad actually that does idea. That for his the lab as a loyalty program.
Yeah. That's dentist, I mean, that's right? hard to argue dentist. With, honestly. That's a pretty good deal. So I guess that shows you what kind of prostitute I am.
I was wondering what kind of prostitute you are.
I'm the best kind of prostitute.
You're the best kind. Wow, I didn't know there was a best kind. But I'll take
you haven't met me in person.
I also saw the picture that Alan put up today, so I also know.
that will definitely show you the kind of prostitute I am, exactly. Anyhow, I'm sorry. So BoomCloud, do you work with people who already have existing programs and want some help administering it? Is that something you can do?
Absolutely. You guys know Mark Costes, right?
Sure.
He's a good buddy of mine.
Yeah.
Good buddy of yours, I think.
I've heard of him. Yeah.
You've heard of him, passing. Right? I know he works a lot with you guys because I just got off the phone with him this morning doing a podcast on his show.
Nice.
And
so wait a second. You're telling us that you came to us after Mark. I don't know. We might have to end this interview right here.
You guys would have been first last
week.
Yeah,
it's true. That's right. We ditched you like 5 different times. So I guess that's only fair.
Yeah. So basically, Mark has his own plan, and he's just signed up with us, and we announced that on a show this morning. Basically, he wants to continue to grow his program, and you hit a point where it's hard to scale, right? Because there's too many manual systems.
That's exactly right.
When a practice is managing themselves, which is great, and I encourage that, you just run into a lot of bottlenecks, right? And you need a system, right? Much like you in the early days, a while back, a lot of practices had their calendars, and they just used paper calendars, right? Mm-hmm, right. And they thought that was awesome. That worked, right? But as technology has increased and systems have gotten better, now that's baked into the practice management system, right? So I use that analogy because systems are only getting better in business and in dentistry. And our software helps give a practice a streamlined system to help mm-hmm. scale and grow that program. So that's why a practice would want to use your software, even if they have an existing program like yours. Was it you, Alan, that has it?
Yeah, I have one. I've had one for a while, actually. It's been It's yeah. You know what's interesting? I'll just give you the in 2008 when the world ended, when the economy when the economy ended and basically okay
didn't end on Saturday yeah, too.
Exactly. My practice is full of GM employees and GM retirees. And they have they had this cherry insurance forever, like the first 10 years of my career. They uh-huh. I mean literally like they'd walk in and basically everything was covered at 90%. They said yes a lot, okay? And then literally overnight, GM went bankrupt and everyone lost all of their insurance. And there was a certain percentage of them that were out of spite, were going to say, screw you, I'm not coming to the dentist, no matter, you can't pay me enough, blah, blah, blah. And they were a mess, you know. But some of them still wanted to come and they felt like they needed a plan. This is like what Chris said. So we put exactly. that out there and we signed up a bunch of them. I mean, they just, and it wasn't even, you know, it's a moneymaker, but it's also like more than anything, it brings them in. You know, it keeps them in.
Yeah.
At very least, I know that we are maintaining them, even if they're not going for giant, you know, number stuff like they used to. At least we're getting a chance to see them. We're getting a chance to examine, take some X-rays and stuff. And so I started it then, and the reality is we've had a very solid following for quite some time because of that. Like on a daily basis, we've got people choosing to sign up. So it's awesome. It's a really like, and I've always said to myself, I would take a practice full of those people over insurance because the rule that we have is that you pay the day the service is provided. You know, you pay your part. I mean, heaven forbid, that makes perfect sense, right? So, and I mean, honestly,
well, business should be done.
exactly. But insurance doesn't offer you that deal. I mean, that's you take a little discount on the thing, but you're getting paid the same day, and you don't have to worry about your estimate to what the insurance is going to pay, all that stuff. It's beautiful.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's why I'm a big believer in it. Being in the dental industry for over 10 years now, seeing the models that are out there, I'm just a big time believer, and I've seen a lot of practices benefit with a membership program. Are you guys familiar with Dr. Brady Frank at all?
Oh, sure. Yeah. He spoke at the Voice of Dentistry last year.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, yeah.
In fact, I'm going to that this year.
All right.
I'll see you guys there. Yeah.
Let's Ben break in right now. Here. That's voicesofdentistry.com. Use coupon code VOD200 for $200 off. Sorry, go ahead.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll be there. And but anyways, I just lost my train of thought. We were talking about...
Such a good thing and
That's talking about Brady Frank. So Brady is one of our users, and he's given me permission to talk and do a case study. In fact, I got a meeting with him this week, and we're going to be doing a more in-depth case study webinar with him. A fantastic person, but they never had a program, but they always heard from like Dr. Phelps and everyone in the industry, you know, the hype talking about it. And he decided to pull the trigger and sign up with us, and we kind of helped him get started. But they obviously – know how to market, which I think is a skill that every dentist needs to understand. Within like the first, I think 2.5 months or so, they signed up over 400 patients to the program. Wow. And they had a system to be able to scale that fast, right? Because that's a lot of patients.
Yeah, it is.
In just a short amount of time, but they are continuing to have success with the program. And he's I'm just excited to see his success with a membership program and excited to do a big case study with him because he's obviously speaks a lot in the industry. And, I just really like that guy. He's super nice.
He's like a stand-up comic when he presents too. He's very funny. He's very entertaining. He killed it last year at Voice of Dentistry. Killed it. He was really good.
Awesome.
So talk to me about this. So the first thing you talk about was recurring revenue. Tell me how this becomes automatic recurring revenue.
Perfect. Love the question. Yeah. So basically our software helps automate all the payments, whether they're monthly or yearly. That's one of the things it does. So basically, let's say a patient signs up and you're doing a yearly plan. They sign up today. Much like Amazon Prime, you guys ever come to the end of your Amazon Prime membership and they send you an email and says, hey, we're automatically going to renew your membership on this date.
Yeah. And right? I know so, let them.
And then you allow them, yep. Right?
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Yeah. So that's what our software does for our practices.
But does your software allow you to watch movies all year long?
We're working on that.
Okay,
right
yeah,
now.
That's version 2.0. Okay, just checking.
Yeah, it's only gonna be dental movies though. So
oh man, dental
little
CE.
House of Horrors.
Wow, there's an idea actually. There's the add a CE component. Hey, there
yeah,
you go.
I've actually thought about that.
That'd be hot. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have tons of ideas. Sometimes I overwhelm my co-founders. Yeah, they're like, dude, you gotta just let's focus. I'm like, yeah, sorry, but. Yeah, so the big piece of it helps practices automate those, whether they're monthly or yearly, the payments from the patient. And we have like ACH, an ACH feature
you
as
know,
well.
You know, the monthly thing is intriguing to me. I'm going to interrupt again because here's the thing. We always just do yearly because we don't have anything automating it. But I'll bet a lot of people would prefer monthly because they don't have that lump sum. And then so I'm assuming you charge a little bit more monthly for the monthly
Absolutely.
Thing than – Tell me about that. Tell me the difference. How do you do that?
Yeah. So the monthly, exactly what you just said there, when a practice comes to us and says, we want to do a monthly and maybe we want to offer a yearly as well, we say, okay, basically let's figure out your numbers and what you want to charge for it. And for the monthly, you just charge, 10, 20% more than what you're charging for the yearly.
But you require a certain amount of time. They have to do it for X amount of time to get all the benefit, right?
When I tell a practice when they're thinking about doing monthly, I say create an agreement. You got to have an agreement with these things.
Yep.
And we have a place in our software where we have contract management system where a practice can upload their contracts. We actually are working on some templates as well that they can use where they can upload their contracts and, fiddle with their terms and conditions and the length. But if you're doing monthly, I highly recommend that you say it's a monthly, but you're paying, it's a year term.
A year term, yeah. Because honestly, when you're talking about the benefits, it's not fair for them to just pay one monthly fee and take advantage of all the x-rays or take
it. Yeah, it's just
like digital x-rays make this a no-brainer because so much of the time when you're fighting about x-rays, it's fighting about a couple bucks here and there. Sometimes it's people just don't, they want to control and they don't want to take x-rays. Sometimes it's the nickel and diming of how much you have to pay. So I think that's a huge thing. Like a lot of the diagnostic stuff that you might fight about becomes not a fight at all because it's just included. At least that's what we have done.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of practices do that. There's like 100% discount plans that I've seen out there.
Yeah.
They just charge a monthly or yearly fee to just get access to discounts. But then there's also the prepaid side of it where they're prepaying for, x-rays, exams, things like that.
Well, here's the other thing too. Like depending on the procedure load that you're doing, like sometimes you want to have more x-rays than say insurance might want you to have, or, let's say you do a lot of implants or something like that. What a nice thing to just know that you're not going to fight with them about the recommended diagnostic stuff. Jason, have you ever fought about x-rays with anyone, like today?
Yeah, didn't you post something today?
I'm sure, probably.
I'm sure. I'm disgruntled pretty much all the time. So.
But, I mean, isn't that one of the most frustrating things in the world, though, the x-ray thing, the patient that just, they come in, and every time they come in, I think we won't do x-rays this time. And you're like, come on. At some point, you have to confront them. That's the worst, when they make you confront them. And I'm like, you'd never tell a physician that you're not going to allow them to take an x-ray. Like, that would never happen, right?
No, I would never.
I've got a cone beam, too, so that's double x-ray troubles.
That's actually, I agree. I think that would be even a better indication when you've got that kind of a technology that you can just roll that into the membership plan.
Yeah, absolutely. People get a lot of creative with their technology that I've seen out there, so... Yeah, that's really my mindset.
Okay, so
I'm
sorry. So you can do it monthly or yearly. What exactly does how would someone be introduced to the software? Like, what is it, a browser based system? Is it something that does it work within a practice management, or is it like a separate module? How does it work?
Great question. Yeah, so it's cloud based software that we've developed and. It's standalone. You don't need to integrate it with, practice management. It does everything you need in the software, right? So cloud-based, access it from anywhere with the internet connection. A lot of practices will put it on multiple computers. And with the cloud-based, you can basically save a shortcut, to your desktop. And
So it is a browser, or is it a separate application?
It's browser. So that's what I mean by cloud-based.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, so
excellent. Okay.
It's run on the browser. I'm all for cloud software.
Yeah, make it work wherever you need it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can go anywhere, and we have a dashboard. I don't know if you guys have been to our website yet, but we have a dashboard when you log into the software that shows all of your metrics for your membership program. You know, like collected this month, your monthly recurring revenue, yearly recurring revenue, and then we have, you know, like previous year revenue, what you did, so you can compare your growth. And then your active members, the new members that have signed up this month, and then the new members that have signed up through the website, because our software actually integrates into the practice's website, so patients can sign up online.
That's nice.
Through the portal. Yeah, and that way you can – a lot of practices have sent out like a mass text or mass email that talks about the program and says you can sign up right here, and then they get, you know, a flood of patients signing up online. It
actually, that's a huge benefit. Because we have nothing like that. I mean, we have a website that describes – some on the web that describes it, but
marketing,
it definitely
– yeah, marketing content.
No, that's really cool.
Because now your staff is probably enrolling it. When somebody signs up, they're probably manually enrolling everyone to it, right?
So sure, yeah.
It creates a bottleneck in the system on a scalability standpoint. So wouldn't it be easy if you just send a text or an email out to your patients that are signing up or interested, and they're like, just sign up here, and then they just do it at home, and your staff doesn't have to do it other than sending a message. So that's one thing that we help with is just the online enrollment process. It makes it super easy. Or even, you know, when a patient's waiting in an office, the practices will have an iPad or something or a laptop in their front office and say, here you go, here's the registration form online.
No one waits in my office, Jordan. That would never happen. Maybe Lipscomb's office, but never mine.
not Helen's.
We brush the cobwebs off our faces before we bring it back.
Sorry, you're a little dusty there.
Thanks for waiting for 3 hours.
So you literally can build it into the website, and then you've got a dashboard, and but you could also probably do face-to-face enrollment if someone's a new patient, a drop in, something like that. Yeah.
There's a practice that I actually went and visited because they're so successful with enrolling patients. So I went up and traveled a little bit and spent the day talking with them and seeing their process, just because I'm a curious guy. Right. Basically they had a treatment room,
an operatory.
Consultation
room.
Consultation.
There
room,
you go.
You.
Got it.
Yeah.
You
win, a thumbs up.
You win my everlasting love. You win. Big winner. Love. So in a consult room, I'm sorry, we're getting off track again.
You're totally fine. This is fun. So they have a consult room that they take all their patients in, and they do basically a presentation about their membership program, and they've done a face-to-face model, which works fantastically.
Do they do it like condos in Florida, and they make them, it's like a 3-hour presentation, and like you can have a really bad, like you draw them in for free breakfast? I think that's a really good idea. Jason's downtown Richmond. He could totally do that.
Do the timeshare model. Yeah.
Totally. Jason, sandwich board. I want to see Jason get a sandwich board to drag him in for. That'd be awesome. I would love that.
I've got one of those spinners. I'm going to stand outside of the road.
I love it.
But do you like my Statue of Liberty costume that I wear sometimes?
Exactly. I want to dress up as a giant pizza. I don't know why that would work, but I do want to be a giant pizza. Fair enough.
That I think that would work. Yeah. I mean, I'd want to go to your office if somebody was standing outside.
You've got the two pepperonis already.
I see what you did there. So they actually do the presentation right there, and then when they got them live. And
then they let them register
nice
online themselves. So that's a lot. Yeah, a lot of practices have different styles with onboarding patients to these types of programs. But, yeah, that's kind of one example I've seen.
So this is pretty cool. Tell me this, are there practices where this isn't a good idea? I know that's sort of a tough question for the guy who's selling it, but like, are there practices that maybe it's not a good fit? Like maybe certain specialty practices or I mean, God, heavy Medicaid practices or something like that. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I definitely like that question because I have a target market, right, that I focus on. A lot of specialty offices, it's very hard to create a membership program in. Pediatrics can do it. We have a lot of pediatrics that use our software. General is obviously the best the best model to use a membership program in. We've had like orthodontists come to us, but they don't have any recurring services like
yeah,
the general.
Yeah. Does. And they're like set up to pay overtime anyhow. It's kind of perfect.
Yeah. They can do like financing.
But you'd be absolutely the worst in an endodontist office though, because like no one wants to prepay for root canals. No one wants to.
No, and that's hard. It's like, you know, maybe like a discount of like 100% discount, not 100%, but just a discount plan with no prepaid stuff may work.
Oh, that's fair. If you know, you just have a mouth and you've got multiple root canals. And I'm only laughing a little bit because Jason and I both have patients like that that just come in knowing one root canal per year or something like that.
Oh wow,
that would be horrible though. I'm just thinking, really, a general practice office doing a lot of hygiene makes a ton of sense, right? I mean, this makes the most sense of all of it, probably.
Yeah, and then another objection that like I get all the time is maybe they're 100% fee for service. But according to Dr. Phelps, because he's fee for service, I've talked to him about this all the time, because we get lots of practices that don't deal with insurance whatsoever. They're like, well, would this be a good model for us? And what Dr. Phelps has told me, based on his offices, is that for fee for service offices, it's a short term loss, long term gain.
Uh-huh.
And what I mean by that is, yeah, initially they may feel the sting, you know, of giving a discount, but long term they're creating a loyalty program for their office, according to Dr. Phelps, in our conversation here. So, you know, and oftentimes practices that are fee for service and are dealing with cash paying patients want some sort of discount for paying everything up front, right?
Sure,
that's the fair thing to do for any large, you know, large service that costs, you know, some money.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a very fair thing to do. So it can also increase case acceptance. And this is all my conversation with Dr. Phelps, when it comes to fee for service offices. But a lot of the fee for service practices kind of say, well, this is not right for me. But if they want to really create a predictable revenue stream, a loyalty system, and an attraction tool for the practice, then it's one of the best things they can do, because they're not dealing with insurance. They don't have to, you know, go through maybe a PPO plan has a certain contract where they can't do certain things. So
a natural fit is something like what happened with me when there's a lot of people that were losing coverage or retiring from coverage or whatever. It's a natural fit because you can still have patients that are insurance based in your office.
Absolutely.
But you can offer this to people without a plan. Now, do tell me this. You probably know this question's coming. Where do you get in trouble with insurance companies when you're offering a discount? Like, there's clearly, my understanding is there's some legal hangups on that deal.
Absolutely,
where if you have a certain contract with some companies, they require that you give them the best discount that you're giving anyone else or something like that.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I actually talked to Ben Tune. You guys have heard of him.
Sure.
A lot about this, because in the early days, I was getting that question asked all the time. And what Ben had responded to me with this question is that you're obviously not going to give a bigger discount than you are with PPOs, right? Most of the time, they're, you know, 30 to 60%. But a lot of the times, you're not working with a patient that is contracted with the PPO, right? So they don't fall into that category of patients that the PPO can control. And I'm saying that with quotes there. So basically what I've seen out there is, as long as you're not, you know, discounting more than the PPOs and you're using your, you know, regular UCR fees, you're fine. Now, there are some regulations out there in, not every state has them, and some states copy others. And basically what those regulations are you got to have a contract. You can't call it dental insurance.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to get in trouble. If a practice is marketing this as dental insurance and it's not an insurance product, then that's when they're going to get some trouble. So we actually have a piece in our software called regulation management that we have a database of all the states that
ooh, that's a great thing. Holy cow, I love that.
They talk about regulation, and we're trying to learn more as we go as well, because we've tapped into a database, But as you guys know, the government is not very good at updating things.
Well, they just assume you get it wrong so they can nail you. That's
Yeah. So we're constantly trying to update that as we go, as we learn more about, you know, a certain state. But most states, it's totally completely legal to do. You just need to follow some regulations. Like, for example, California, and we work with a lot of practices in California that do this. They have to go through a certain procedure where they submit their plans to the Department of Managed Healthcare, and they review them and make sure it's not dental insurance, and then they approve it, right? And it's that simple. A lot of states are like that as well. And
okay.
And then so that's typical. The typical regulations are pretty simple, and I think that scares a lot of dentists, and I don't think it should scare a dentist.
I think it does. Yeah. I think that's a very good point. I think a lot of times I'm not going to do this because I don't even want to.
I'm scared.
I don't even want to. Like think about running afoul of insurance because we're taught to live in fear of a lot of that stuff, and I kind of get it, but I think it's very cool that you guys are sort of jumping on that so that you can offer that as that knowledge base to dentists thinking of doing this.
Yeah, and that's and I'm big at being a resource in the industry. I don't want a practice thinking that, you know, when they come to us they're like, oh, I didn't know about this. And we try to educate as best as we can through technology and through our team when they talk to a practice getting ready to sign up. We try to do as much education as we can about these – just starting a membership program, right? But, yeah, most states are – it's completely fine to do. Other states, there's just simple little regulations that you may have to do to start a program like this. And I just wouldn't let that scare – you as a dentist, right? Don't let it scare you. Do some research. Come to a, you know, I'm more than happy to go out of my way and help any dentist that comes and says, I'm just curious. I want to find more information about this. It's not hard for me to call the insurance commissioner in that state and have a chat. You know, that's all I've done.
No, that's right? Cool. And so, since you're not a dentist, they're not trying to dig too hard on you.
Yeah.
The other thing I think of for this thing is like practices that do a lot of higher dollar things, I tend to think of like bigger implant cases and stuff like that. This is really cool because this kind of a thing can, first off, the patient feels like they're getting a huge value, and it's typically you'd be happy to do this knowing that you're just getting paid up front and calling it good. It's like, it's kind of a win-win on case acceptance, it seems like to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, I mean, Dr. Phelps says that, Dr. Mark Costi says that, you know, that it's helped his practice increase case acceptance. Hearing that from Dr. Brady Frank, all these guys that I speak with and you guys know, you know, they say that's a big thing for them is increasing case acceptance. There's a lot of good things that a membership program can offer a practice, both on the business and the clinical side.
So you can handle someone who's got an existing, like you can help them administer their existing one, then you can help them put together a plan themselves if they're looking to do this, if they're deciding this is a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have templates. Like I mentioned earlier, we use Dr. Phelps templates. I've used a few other influencers when I notice a practice is successful, we ask them questions and then we're like, let's use this as a template and see if it works on other practices. So yeah, we do help with that. We also have a ton of resources on our website. We have an ebook that talks about the whole concept and mindset of a predictable recurring revenue system in a practice that we give away for free. And then we have some financial calculators, right? That sure. Practice can download for free, you know, on our website. They can download. I think we even have one that's on the website that they can use, right? But we got one that they can download. They can do a profit margin analysis with all the benefits. Yeah, with all the benefits they're adding to their membership program, they can add all those in there with all the costs. Because I'm a big numbers guy, I want to know the numbers, and they can figure out their cost to their break even cost, right, of a program, and then from there they can add profit.
Oh,
right?
Okay. So the obvious question is how much about depending on the practice, I suppose, how much does it cost to administer this thing? Because I have to say that the idea of having a software that manages this for you does make a lot of sense. It takes a lot of the manual guesswork out of it. So I think there's some value there. How much would it cost to administer this kind of thing?
Yeah. So like with our software or just through like the
– Yeah, let's hear it with your software.
Yeah. So our software Right now, it's $300 a month for our software, flat fee. And we do lock in our customers. We grandfather them in at whatever price, because our prices have gone up since we've started.
Sure.
but yeah, so flat fee is our fee. We do have a setup fee, but that covers all the training and onboarding and education. We give all of our practices a marketing kit as well that they can use to promote it and educate their patient base. Excellent. So, and that's a one-time fee of $1,000 one time. And we do live trainings. We don't fly out to your office, but we do live conference calls, trainings, and that covers any, we do unlimited trainings as well. If the practice feels like they need to call our trainer up and do book another session, they're more than welcome to do that as well.
Sure.
So $300 for the license fee a month, and then a one-time $1,000 setup. And then there's all obviously merchant costs, which that doesn't come to us. It goes all the merchant company, which right now we have a rate of 2.9% per transaction, but we're getting ready to negotiate for all of our guys in the network, all of our practices. So that's another service that we do.
Oh, say that again.
So the transaction fee for the merchant
company is 2.9%. Like credit card stuff, that sort of thing.
Yeah, credit card stuff, which that's hard to avoid. I've always wanted to avoid that stuff, but so those
you're kind of in there. Here's the next thing. Yeah. Obviously, this has to have crossed your mind. What about going in with one of these companies that helps your patients get financed? That seems like a natural fit.
Yeah.
To go in.
So we actually that's an interesting topic you brought up, because we actually have the beginning stages of that. We have an in-house financing piece where it automates monthly payments from treatment.
Sure.
And then the practice can add their own interest rate on it. Right now, we don't. It's just an automated payment plan with interest, like a hybrid financing plan model. But yeah, that's down the road, kind of like a care credit thing, but in the hands of a doctor, where care credit, you got a discount, I think like close to 10% or something. And then they take all the interest.
Yeah, no, that's
right.
They do, yes.
Yeah. So it's like, so in my mind, I'm like, well, why don't we help practices create another predictable recurring revenue stream in my mind. So that's the next stages. But we do have a feature in our software that allows practices to do in-house payment plans with interest tacked onto it, right?
Sure.
So yeah, that's one thing that I've definitely been thinking about, but I get bombarded with so many ideas.
There's a lot here. that's one of them. You know, everyone who's got a dashboard probably has a lot of things that they feel like they want. They could add on to it. And there's a lot of dashboards out there. Okay, so if people want to get in touch with you, the way to do that is boomcloudapps.com, and the email is info@boomcloudapps.com. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a perfect one to go to. I mean, if people are really interested, book a demo. That's the best way.
There's a link on your website to schedule a demo, so they can kind of see it.
Okay. There's a button up top there, the menu that says schedule a demo, and then we do have the 800 number as well, which is 800-260-9285, which gives you access to anyone on my team that can educate you on the software. And I only hire people that have been in the dental industry and understand our industry. For the record, we got a couple former office managers that work with us. I stole a guy from Solution Reach.
Oh, nice. There you go.
And he's been fantastic. He's one of my faves. Don't tell the other guys though. but yeah, I only hire people that understand the dental industry and can help educate practices on this concept.
Excellent. Okay, for the last couple of minutes, I want you to tell me a little bit about the podcast. Why a podcast? And tell us about the podcast and where do we find it?
Yeah, so I'm a co-host on the Navigating Dental Insurance podcast. The website is saynotoppos.com. And it's me and Ben Tuinay.
Navigating Dental Insurance. You could have named it Poking Yourself in the Eye or Kicking Yourself in the Nuts Over and Over Again podcast. But go ahead.
That's ours.
That's yours, yeah. Those ideas came up, but we chose a different one.
Okay, fair enough.
So that's the podcast name. And basically, we bring on guests to talk about dental insurance, the challenges, how to reduce dependency. We talk about membership programs and just the strategy of being more self-reliant and becoming a fee-for-service practice is a lot of our topics there. So that's a little bit about our podcast. So saynotoppos.com.
Cool. And I know you can get it on iTunes and whatever podcaster it is. The the Navigating Dental Insurance Podcast. And I believe we're going to see you guys or see you at the Voice of Dentistry as well, probably in the podcast lounge somewhere.
Yep, I'll be in the podcast lounge.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Well, Jordan, thank you very much for joining us on the Dental Hacks Podcast. This has been really good. If you guys have any questions or comments for Jordan, why don't you hit us with an email, info@dentalhacks.com, and we'll make sure he gets your email. And if you guys have any questions or comments for him also, go to the Dental Hacks Nation Facebook page. We can talk about it, talk about what your experience with membership plans is, love it, hate it, all that stuff. There's lots to talk about here, and Jordan is a member over there, so he can weigh in there. So thank you a ton for being on the show, Jordan.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It's been awesome.
Excellent. All right.
Hey, thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Sweet.
Hey, Dental Hacks listeners. Are you ready to be a member and get your membership program going in your office? Jordan Comstock is there and
members
waiting to help.
Only. It's not really members only, though. It's just that you like it when the members come in because, I don't know, maybe you don't if they've already paid you and you don't want to give them their free cleanings.
You know it's working.
No, it is. It's been great. I would argue that I don't know that it means they're more likely to seek treatment, but I know that they're more likely to... Once they've paid it, especially if it's a yearly thing, they're going to come in and get their cleanings. That's the one thing. They're the people on your schedule that are not going to cancel their appointments, and they know that you'll smoke them if they do. But so, I mean, in that sense, the prepaid aspect of it, I love. And I think, you know, a lot of times if they're cash patients, they're going to do it just because, well, you know, it feels like they get the cleanings for free and you're going to knock a percentage off their amount. It's been good for us. It really has. I don't know that it's a game changer. Like he was talking about in some practices, how much of a big deal is, but I'm glad that we can offer it and we sign people up every week. So it's good. I like it.
And if they give you any crap, you'd be like about their insurance. You'd be like, look, I also offer this plan. So go suck it.
Yeah, that's right. We love our patients.
That should be their motto.
Yeah.
At Boom Cloud.
Suck it, patient. That's what I think that
I was actually, I went to Panera today. And I went through the drive-thru. They have a drive-thru for the Panera now.
Nice.
You know what you have Panera out there?
Yep, we do, and we have a drive-thru. It's the slowest drive-thru on the face of the earth.
And I
think they're actually letting the bread rise while you're waiting for it.
I commented to my wife that they should name it Road Bread. I thought that would be
really good.
Good branding for them.
That would be like the drive-thru. There's an arrow. Instead of saying drive-thru, it should say Road Bread. I like that.
Road Bread.
That's nice. Yeah. So now's the time on the show where my voice goes funny and I say, road bread. No, I don't say that. No, I said, go hack yourself.
Wasn't it Orson Welles that said rose bread?
Yeah, rose. Yeah, sure. That too. Go hack yourself.
Road bread. Well, I never.
All right, Jason. I'm excited to hear your go hack yourself. We just fabricated it out of thin air. Let's hear about it.
Well, those of you who met me last year at the Voices of Dentistry noticed that I'm kind of a big fella and I was a little bit too big around the mid portion. So I kind of
like me, yeah, it's okay.
You wouldn't say that, Alan,
you can say
it's more to love. But I kind of resolved that I needed to lose some weight and kind of knew it for a long time. And I thought back to something that I heard at the Henry Schein Dental Business Institute.
Nice.
From Kathleen Eitel Belt, who's a speaker, and she talks about leadership and different things.
And not being fat.
And not being fat. She pointed at me and said, you.
You.
I can't see anybody behind you. Move out of the way. No, but she was talking about breaking things down. If you really want to do something, to really break it down and say, why can't I do this? Why can't I exercise? Oh, okay. I don't have time to exercise. And then she would say, you don't have 5 minutes in your day just to like jump down and do like a couple push-ups or do this or break it up throughout the day and do 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there. And I kind of thought, you know, I kind of do have that time. So I kind of resolved that I was going to start trying to do 100 push-ups a day. And a couple months ago, I started, and I could probably only do maybe like 20 push-ups.
Sure.
20 push-ups a day. But now I've gotten to the point where I could do, 30, 40 at a time.
Nice.
At a setting. I'm still not like a rock star in push-ups, but I make a resolve to do push-ups during the day when I get up and when I go to the office. And throughout it all, I kind of stopped drinking a whole lot. I dropped drinking a whole lot of beer at nighttime, having 2,000 calories of beer at nighttime.
Isn't that funny, though? Like, the nighttime thing is a bitch, too. I hate that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would come home and have God knows how much beer, and it's just empty calories.
It is.
Just sitting there.
But, I mean, that beer hasn't been my thing for years, but I still, man, the evening is tough. It's like, I think I'd just eat some stuff, you know? Like, yeah. I mean, beer is one thing, but it's, like you said, it's all empty calories because I don't really need it. And then it's probably metabolically, especially since I'm diabetic, it's even worse to eat right before at nighttime. You know, I wake up feeling horrible. So,
yeah. Well, then you drink that, and then you eat crappy stuff because you kind of – your inhibition is down, so you just...
That sounds great! Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've lost about 60 pounds
that's
now.
That's amazing. God, that's so good. Wow.
Still need to lose some more, but
good for you.
It's a good way to get started.
And good
that,
for
that
you.
That little sound bite just kind of helped me get started on a change in some things. So,
nice, good. Nice. All right, so mine is the opposite of what you have. Mine, it's really, okay, so it's my Go Hack Yourself.
Little chocolate donuts. It's fun. My
little chocolate. It's almost that bad. So, like, I use the Instant Pot quite a bit, which is like it's the sort of computerized, electronically controlled pressure cooker. It's really cool because you can cook things super fast compared to, you know, like basically I used to make, like, chicken stock and stuff, but you know, by boiling my bones and all that stuff, and it would take all day long. You can essentially do it in 40 minutes or something. It's just really, the pressure pot's really cool. So I found a recipe that I'll post, and I really like soup of all kinds. I'm a soup guy, especially in the fall, you know, fall and winter. And so I found this soup, this Instant Pot soup, that's Instant Pot French onion soup. French onion soup is great because it's tasty, and actually it's relatively low calorie. And this recipe is so freaking easy. For as tasty as it is, I'm embarrassed how easy it is. There's like no steps to it at all. You know, you basically cut onions up, saute them, put stock in, and then let it go. It's freaking nuts. And you open it up, and it's like the best French onion soup you've ever had. So if you don't have an Instant Pot and you like to cook stuff, you should check it out. They're on sale quite often at Amazon. They're, you know, they're between $100 and $150 typically. Sometimes you can get them for less. But and if you like soup, particularly French onion soup, man, it's really good. So that is my go. I'll put the recipe in the show notes. But anyone has questions about the Instant Pot, man, you should email me. I freaking love that thing. It's awesome.
We use the crock pot a lot, and I'm just always kind of disappointed with what comes out of it. You would think it would be much, much better and much more tender.
I'll tell you what, man. This Instant Pot, I think the difference between it, you can use this Instant Pot, I think, kind of like a crock pot, but the pressure thing is everything, man. It's nuts. It's different than the sous vide thing, which is probably makes the best cooked meat that I've ever had, but it's just really good. I'm a sucker for good soup, and this is really good. So you know, you mentioned something about the Voices of Dentistry meeting. We won't beat the dead horse this episode, but you guys need to let's beat it. Voices of Dentistry, Scottsdale, Arizona, January 26th, 27th. It's going to be full of podcaster goodness. We've got a bunch of great speakers. We'll probably be trickling the lineup out as we go on the social media stuff, but I'm actually going to Scottsdale this week. I'll be there. I'm flying there Thursday. So actually, for the day before this is released, probably, I'll be in Scottsdale. There's a BioClear Summit. I'm going to see all the BioClear rock stars do their talks and stuff. But I'm also going to be in Scottsdale. So I'm going to try and get over to the hotel, to the DoubleTree. And if I do, I will take photos and put them up on the Dental Hacks Nation.
I've been there before. It's beautiful.
Have you really? Oh, that's cool. That's awesome. So I got to say that, you know, Nashville was nice, but arguably Nashville is not that far from Michigan. So in January, it wasn't that. We're looking at 70 degrees, man. We may be wearing shorts and stuff. So I'm very much looking forward to this. You can find out more information at voicesofdentistry.com. You can use until October 18th, you can get $200 knocked off the already ridiculously low price of $897 using VOD200. So don't wait. Listen, you're going to go. Don't procrastinate. Voicesofdentistry.com. Sign up. Jason is still holding out free back rubs. So if you do it, you'll get one. That's guaranteed.
Yeah.
He may pull that offer later, but probably not. Honestly, he'll probably just do it anyhow. So
I take him too.
Yeah. We'll do a circle. Everyone gets free back rubs.
There's a name for that.
I know. Don't even go there. All right, Jason. Well, be well. Congratulations on the weight loss. That kicks ass. And we'll record again sometime soon. So we'll be back in a week.
Yes.
All right. Adios, man. We'll talk to you later.
Day.